Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Tuesday afternoon, October 28th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Ski season, it's a lot closer than you think, so plan early to lock in great reservations and big savings. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, with job cuts making headlines and limited government data, many job seekers are asking, how's the market and how can I stand out? Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And once again, we are flying sort of blind when it comes to really assessing the job market. The ADP report, the private payroll report for the month of October, is out. It says private companies added just 15,000 new jobs over the course of October, and those gains wiped out by some of the announcements we heard today. Amazon cutting 14,000 positions, white collar and management. The same thing at UPS, both companies saying they can find greater efficiencies using artificial intelligence. For the 28,000 plus who now find themselves entering the job market once again, what can they expect and how can they compete in a world where AI is taking over a number of functions?
Yeah, well, first of all, no offense intended, despite this particular story, people should stop listening to the news.
No.
I say it tongue in cheek because large events for humans, we are three times more likely to avoid than anything that is reward motivated. It's just brain chemistry. And so what you have when people are in the market looking is they already have lower confidence and a lot of uncertainty and anxiety. And listening to the fact that company A, B, or C has let go of 30 or 40,000 people is just completely disheartening. But on the other side of it, if you get a job, you're not going to change the unemployment data. You're going to get a job. So your one unique individual effort has nothing to do with the state of the economy. And that's the first thing you have to sort of embrace or accept or hypnotize yourself about, is that anything that doesn't help you move forward and go after a job is just counterproductive to what you're doing.
Yeah, the reality is, and I think for anybody who's looking for a job, and that is your prospects are really affected by what's in front of you right now. I mean, the macro environment does matter somewhat, but you have control over what you can do. And the point of comparison I always think about is 2008 and 2009, the Great Recession, where I was employed throughout. It just seemed apocalyptic, but a lot of people started their careers during that time as well.
Sure. And the other challenge for people is that all hiring systems, and this is in the best economy you could possibly describe, if we were at zero unemployment, the hiring systems are not trying to find anybody. Hiring systems are designed to filter those that they don't want. The hiring process, once it gets through all of the mechanics and layers and filters, that decision is made by a person. And so the goal is to get to the person, not to sit in the system that will, by statistical probabilities based on the news, eliminate you more likely than it will hire you. And the other thing that's really interesting about this economy, interesting may not be the right word, is there's no middle ground. Organizations have needs still right now. They have needs. They have needs at the very top and they have needs at the entry level. They don't have any needs in the middle. If you sit in the middle in a market, you have to figure out how to redefine yourself in some way. And you certainly should not be trying to work your way up through an organization, through people that you would compete with, or filtering mechanisms that will keep you from getting to the person who actually could hire you.
Bottom line, talk to people, skip LinkedIn.
Exactly.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, winter's on the way. Plan your ski getaway now to lock in the best reservations and deals.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, part one. The time to plan your winter ski vacation is now, especially if you're looking to buy an Epic or Icon ski pass. We welcome in Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors, based in Scottsdale, Arizona, the website travelbta.com. Angie, thank you for joining us today. And I'm a bit of a novice when it comes to the world of skiing. I didn't really start until 3 years ago. And the one thing I learned very quickly is that the entire skiing world, more or less, runs through the Epic or Icon Ski Pass network. And there is a right way and a wrong way to purchase both in such a way, Angie, that you actually get your money's worth, because you could find yourself overpaying for everything you want to do.
You have to be advantageous, right? And you also have to know how many days you're going to ski and where you're going to ski, because Icon has different mountain access versus Epic. So you really have to kind of reverse engineer this and plan where you want to go and then determine which pass applies.
And the other thing, and this is something when it comes to planning your ski vacation, I mean, it's one thing to get the pass and determine where you're going to go and how often you are going to use it, because the pass functions as both a lift ticket and a key to discounts on various amenities at the ski resort or at the ski mountain. But you also have to do some math about, do you want to rent your ski equipment when you get there? And if you have the pass, you can rent at a discounted price. Or do you want to go to a sporting goods store somewhere in the Chicago area and rent for the entire season? And if that's the case, you could be out of luck in October.
There are a lot of discounts associated with the Icon and the Epic Pass. And one of the biggest discounts is the ability to allow other people to book their ski passes under your pass. And I find, especially with children or friends that are going to ski with you, it's very advantageous for them to look at that as an option.
Now, I mentioned I'm a novice skier, so my skiing experience extends about as far as Wilmot in Wisconsin, just over the Illinois border near Fox Lake. But that's part of the Epic Pass system, and that is owned by Vail Resorts. And of course, the crown jewels of their network are the big ski runs in Colorado. And if you want to go out that way, assume you get the ski equipment ahead of time, or you're comfortable renting the ski equipment. What do you need to know about booking those Colorado or Utah ski vacations at the big resorts?
They do sell out, so you do have to make sure you plan ahead. And I also find that the type of accommodations, certainly as you get closer to your ski dates, becomes more scarce. So planning 6 to 9 months in advance is a necessity with ski, especially if you want to take advantage of more competitive rates and ensuring that the accommodation fits your party more appropriately, and then ski in, ski out, right? Everybody wants that ability to ski in, ski out. So make sure you have a good understanding of the access to the mountain. And separately, we also find that there's a lot of favorable resorts that may not have ski in, ski out, but they provide transportation. And that's a huge bonus. Getting to these ski resorts and having to park is sometimes a nightmare.
And then in general, you bring up a very good point, and that is if you're going to Colorado or going to Utah and you're flying into, say, Salt Lake City or Denver, outside of renting a car, how do you get from the airport to the resort?
Yeah, I mean, there are services, private transfer companies that will provide you the support. Big picture, I don't think you always need a car. When we ski Park City, for example, we take Ubers up the mountain and we avoid the necessity of a vehicle. Now, you do have to really plan ahead, because if you're traveling with ski equipment, you want to make sure that transfer company or you have confidence that an Uber is going to be able to accommodate your luggage. And certainly if you're traveling with ski equipment, you have to be mindful of that. There are some destinations, of course, where having a car is advantageous, especially if you're staying in a little bit more of a remote area and you want to be able to drive to restaurants and other attractions around ski and in addition to ski.
And then lastly, Angie, know your skill level too, because you could sink a lot of money on that really cool Utah or Colorado ski vacation, and then you get to the top of the Green Diamond Hill and say, "Whew, I didn't know I could do this."
If you've never skied before or you're skiing with a variety of people at different levels, I highly recommend a private lesson. And of course, there's group lessons available too. And even for somebody who's skied for the last 20 years, I continue to invest in ski lessons. And oftentimes you can get discounts on ski lessons through your resort and also through the passes. So keep that in mind. It makes for a better ski experience, and you will be able to navigate those mountains quite differently with a guide.
Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, Arizona. The website, travelbta.com. Once again, ski advice from a radio show host who once fell off the chairlift.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Restaurants were once places to sit down and enjoy a meal, but the script has flipped. Most meals are now eaten off-site, with delivery dominating and reshaping the industry as we know it. We welcome in Izzy Carroll, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach, based in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. And how much has takeout or delivery or third-party delivery apps, how have they changed the workflow of a restaurant?
Well, it really picked up during COVID, when people couldn't go into a restaurant and everybody was ordering from all of these third parties. That's where it really started. But here's where we are today. A restaurant's open. It has, a dining room and chefs and bar people. And what happens is people will order from home. They like the food. They get that third-party delivery. So while it helps in looking at it in terms of sales, it is somewhat helpful. But the reality is it's taking people out of the dining room, which is really where the restaurant makes its money.
It's all well and good that people are taking advantage of third-party delivery apps, but how does that change restaurant pricing? How does that, how does that impact a restaurant's bottom line? How does that impact a customer's bottom line with all those delivery app fees? And how does that change how a restaurant approaches pricing? If a customer feels one way about a menu price in the restaurant versus how they feel about paying an extra fee to have it delivered to their home?
Well, for the restaurant, first of all, the restaurant has to pay a fee of about, anywhere between 20% and 30% to the DoorDashes of the world. So if you order $100 worth of food, the restaurant has to pay, another $20 to $30 on top of that. Well, that's their total profit. So what happens is, the restaurant will attach a fee, or I've seen some restaurants, I go online, and if you're going to order off their online menu, those prices can be 40 to 50% higher so that the restaurant can afford to send it to you and make money. So it is very tough. It looks good for the top line, looks very bad for the bottom line.
What can restaurants do to bring people back into the dining room? It seems like a problem that everybody is having, from movie theaters to restaurants and everyone in between.
Well, it is getting harder because prices certainly have gone up in the last, 24 months substantially. So restaurants, I see a lot of them offering, a total meal plan. So come in and for $30, you get a 3-course meal and dessert, or something that, makes it more valuable to you as the guest to go in and enjoy the restaurant. So the trouble is, when people order from these third parties, great, the food goes out, but the restaurant really makes a lot of money on the drinks that they serve, especially alcohol. So that's the piece that restaurants want to get back. It's customers coming in, enjoying their space, relaxing, having a cocktail, and a great dinner.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. Markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist at the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Ryan, thank you for joining us today. And looking at the buying activity we see today, and also yesterday as well, is this in anticipation of an interest rate cut this week, or is this just an overall evaluation of how earnings season has been going so far?
Hey, Rob, thanks for being back, and good afternoon, everybody. I think it's you're going to love this answer. A combination of both. I mean, the reality is we're in a bull market. We know that. I've talked with you today. If we close higher, we'll be the 36th all-time high on the S&P. I mean, we're not that far away from being up 20% this year, and I think it's possible. But getting to specifically to your question, hey, cuts are coming. I mean, we had some good inflation data last week. The market's rallied like crazy since then because it again sees the Fed cuts that are likely coming. Just one thing for the listeners, and then we're going to go forward. I found 21 times, Rob, that the Fed cut interest rates near all-time highs. Probably going to do it tomorrow, right? 21 times a year later, the S&P has been higher. I mean, there's an old saying, don't fight the Fed. There's a lot of other reasons to be optimistic, but this dovish tilt we're seeing with the Fed going into 2026 probably continues to be a tailwind and is one of the reasons we're hitting all-time highs across the board today.
And then how much growth have we seen since the Liberation Day sell-off back in April, which, given all the news of this year so far, seems like 50 years ago?
Yeah, a lot can happen in 6.5 months, I guess, the way to put it. We were down 20% for the year on the S&P. I'm sorry, 20% from the peak, down about 15% for the year back on April 8th, April 9th. And now, like I said, we're about 17, 18%. I think we're 36 or 37% off those lows, close enough for government work. The reality, we're going to be up 6 months in a row. So we're going to have a massive sell-off to end this October, which I don't anticipate. Just something to think about again. When you're up 6 months in a row going into the normally bullish month of November, just think about this. November's never been lower. And when you're up 15% for the year going into November, so those final 2 months, the final 2 months of the year, Rob, are higher 20 out of 21 times. That's after you're up 15% for the year. So let's put a bow on this. We could expect continued strength. I know it's been a great year for investors. I think a lot of money managers, people like in my world, they're still off guard. They still have not really supported this rally. They doubted this rally. Everybody sold back in April. I think it's cliche to say, but there really is money on the sidelines, and we can have a strong two more months to a really good year for investors.
Given all of these data points, in your estimation, what would a Santa Claus rally look like?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. What I mentioned a second ago, when you're up 15% for the year, what happens the rest of the time? Well, about 6% on average. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, but those last 2 months average right about 3.5%. So I think it'll be a little bit better to end this year. It does come down to earnings. A lot of the big tech names, I know you've probably been talking about this, a lot of the big tech names, Mag 7 names, are set to report on Wednesday and Thursday. Clearly, that's a huge part of the market, huge part of the growth. So they have to step up and hit the ball on the tee, but I tell you, earnings season been spectacular so far. I don't see any reason not to expect that.
Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist with the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, so-called skip-gen travel is trending grandparents and grandkids exploring the world together.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, Part 2, sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking. More grandparents are traveling with their grandkids, embracing the growing trend of skip-gen vacations. We welcome in Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com, based in Chicago. Cindy, thank you for joining us today. And if any grandkids may be listening right now, they might hear about this concept for a vacation and think, all right, Grandma and Grandpa, they're going to take us to Disney World. But there's much more to it than that.
There is, absolutely. And you know, some grandparents do take the grandkids to Disney World, although I think really that ends up being more of a multi-gen vacation, which means grandparents, parents, and grandkids, and cousins, and all that. But skip-gen is a whole different animal. That's a solo trip with grandparents and the grandkid. And it's just a special thing because the parents aren't there and, you know, you get to do it the grandparent way. And grandparents and grandkids get to develop a really special bond that doesn't travel through parents, right? And as a little bonus, the parents get, you know, a week of alone time without the kids.
Yeah, the purpose of this type of skip-gen trip is multifold. I mean, first off, as you mentioned, it allows the grandparents to have some really precious bonding time with their grandchildren without the parents hovering around and taking them here, there, and everywhere. But it's also an opportunity for the grandkids to get some time with their grandparents, and those memories do last a lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the key to a really successful skip-gen trip is there's a couple keys. One is to really find an activity that you guys can enjoy together. I think that's a big challenge. I mean, maybe you have really athletic grandkids who want to go on a ski vacation, but, you know, you might be like me and not really like the snow and the cold weather. So that doesn't really work for you. So you've got to find a vacation destination that can work for both of you. Whether you find a shared interest, maybe you both like cooking and you can go someplace and take a cooking class or experience food culture. You know, I'm amazed at kids that are foodies, super sophisticated foodies these days. So whatever the place that you can connect with your grandkids, that's where you want to build a trip around.
And some of the ideas are self-contained. For example, national park road trips. I mean, everything is right there for you in the national park. The same thing for cruises or even a scenic ride on an Amtrak train where you do travel from here to there and you can just find those bonding opportunities in the slower pace.
Absolutely. And I think, again, it's just about finding whatever shared interest you have with your grandkids. It might be, you know, books that you love to read. Maybe Anne of Green Gables is your favorite book that you ever read to your grandkids. So, you know, you plan a trip to Prince Edward Island to follow in the footsteps, or Little House on the Prairie. And, you go to where Laura Ingalls Wilder lived and wrote those books. So you can find some magic in the trip that is really special between the two of you, because it builds on a connection that you guys already had. But the key really is to find something that works for both of you. So things like cruises are really good for that, because there are, you know, the big ships have so many things to do, kids clubs and entertainment and activities that you can always find things to do. And if the kids are old enough, you know, they can even go and do like the kids clubs on their own and think, well, you know, grandparents can get a little, you know, sneak in a nap in the cabin if they need that. So you want to make sure that it works for both of you. And, you know, you want to plan the right length of trip as well, I think. So, you know, for smaller children, it might just be an overnight somewhere close. For older kids, it can be a really amazing trip, like an African safari. And you're going to have that incredible shared experience that is just unforgettable. It depends on your budget, depends on your time, depends on your relationship with the kids. And, you know, I always say start small, right? If you have, hopefully you've had your kids at least for an overnight stay over at grandma's house before you decide to take them on a trip. You want to make sure they're okay away from their parents. They're really comfortable with you. You know their quirks and how to deal with them. So that, you know, you don't get on a plane and fly to Europe and find out that there's a problem. You don't want to start big like that.
Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief, shebuystravel.com in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, Wall Street's optimism is sky high, but reality may not agree.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The stock market is nearing historic overvaluation, with prices seemingly detached from the fundamentals. Joining us to discuss is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And that seems to be the consensus from a number of analysts that we've had on the program in recent weeks, is that the stock market is way overvalued compared to the fundamentals. And what does that mean for the layman?
Well, I mean, fundamentals refers to how much money a company is making and its prospects for continuing to be profitable into the future. And so one of the most well-known ways of measuring that is the price-earnings ratio, which just divides the price of a stock by its earnings per share. And so right now, if you look forward the next 12 months, the estimated earnings of the S&P 500 companies were trading at about 24, 25 times that earnings per share on average across all the S&P 500 companies. And to put that in context, that's a higher ratio than in almost any other time in U.S. history, save for one event. And that one event was the top of the internet bubble in March of 2000. And that's a very ominous parallel.
Now, does this sound like a correction is due? And if so, what would trigger that correction and what would it look like?
Well, if we knew the answer, then, of course, we would all know in advance and have sold stock in anticipation, and then there wouldn't be a correction after all. So I think by definition, we'll never know in advance. It's going to be something out of the blue. And, of course, if we start trying to anticipate what that theoretically could be, there's a whole host of things that could do so. But my guess is that we don't have to know what it is to know that all it takes is something coming out of the blue, of which there are so many. And when you already are anticipating that things are going to go well, it doesn't take much to throw things awry.
In this high-flying environment, then, what do investors demand from third-quarter earnings reports? What do they want to see so that individual stocks don't get punished in this environment?
Well, that's a great question. And it turns out we're already anticipating things to be so good that therefore it has to be really, really good in order to keep investors happy. And that's not a sustainable pattern. It can be a game that companies can play for a while of reducing expectations. And therefore, when they come out what they were otherwise going to do, it looks like they've beaten expectations. It's a game a lot of companies play. But eventually, they're going to have to produce higher and higher profits. And it's just not sustainable.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.